Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Wednesday morning on our program, The Bliss of Marriage, Part 2. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. That's me. And of course, I want to welcome my engineer, Brother Tobella, this morning. And we welcome all of the listeners of Sirius FM and all of the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I want to welcome, of course, my beloved Ustad on this beautiful Wednesday morning into the program, inshallah. Before we welcome him, let's just give us our SMS number, 084-786-3132. That is 084-786-3132. The 29th of Rabi'ul Awal 1441, the last Wednesday in this month of Rabi'ul Awal. Let's go to our beloved Ustad. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. To all the esteemed listeners, today is the 29th of Rabi'ul Awal. So this evening we should be scanning the sky and looking for the new moon, inshallah. And inshallah, after Maghrib, it will be more than 25 hours for the new moon and crescent. Once you see it, contact your local ulama and read the following dua. And that will usher in the month of Rabi'ul Akhir, inshallah. So tonight, tomorrow will be the first of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1441. Provided that the moon and crescent is sighted, we should be reading Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin, Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. O Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, that make this month Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin, a month of khair and goodness, wa Rushdin and righteousness. So the hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood, inshallah.
Somebody is saying here, Ustad, I'm just reading, it says, Mufti Sab, my kids go out and come back late on weekends. We trust them very much. However, somebody told us that they saw them at a disco. I don't know who to believe. Is it allowed for me to put a secret tracker on them, Ustad?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala teaches us in Surah 66 verse 6, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, save yourself and your children from the fire. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyya. Each one of you is a shepherd, and each one will be questioned regarding their flock. So therefore, your first point is already unacceptable. I trust my children. How many people trusted their children, and then you find that they got hooked up with a bad company, and then they went on to drugs? How many parents trusted their daughter, and she came back with a parcel, and then she was pregnant, even sometime with a non-Muslim? All this is the reality on the ground. For you as parents, you are shirking your responsibilities by saying that now you leave your children Friday or Saturday and they go to their friends and then they come back Sunday night, Monday morning. Definitely not permissible. Remember, it's a recipe for disaster and not permissible. Obviously, they will get up to mischief. And you know that now when we go into the crazy season of December and the holidays, more and more mischief will take place. So it's nothing surprising if somebody tells you they saw your son or whoever else there in the disco and haram places. So you as parents are shirking your responsibilities, and you need to be very, very careful in this regard.
Well, so if a man tells his wife he wants a divorce, it says here in bracket, repeated twice, does this mean that the marriage is over? If the marriage is not over, what must the man do on his part in terms of forgiveness, etc.? Ustad.
We need to be very careful that with the words that were uttered, we don't answer questions except the way they are posed to us. So therefore, you need to be very careful and circumspect how you write the question, how you send the question. If the husband told his wife that he wants to give her a divorce, he wishes to give her a divorce, so the nikah is still valid, that is just telling the woman that does he what he thinks, that he what he wants to do, or he told his wife he will give her a divorce, so all that means the nikah is still valid. For a talaq to be valid, the divorce to be valid, it must be in the past tense or it must be in the present tense. And the word talaq, divorce, whatever language, so that must be mentioned as well. It can be mentioned verbally, orally, or it can be written down. And in all these cases, the talaq, divorce will take place. So women need to be careful. My advice to both of you, because many a time people to twist the words and they speak with a forked tongue when they send their questions here. Go to your local ulama or any organization, jamiat, whoever you have confidence in, and in that way there, both of you must go and then you see what happens. But the way you have posed the question, that the husband said that he wishes to give talaq or he wants to give talaq, that is just expressing his intention, then in that case there, the talaq will not take place, the nikah will be valid. And if that is exactly the words you uttered, then make forgive one another, both of you. Wasulhu khair, reconciliation is the best, and in that way you continue with your marriage and make sure you don't utter these type of words in future.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, it says strictly anonymous. Mufti Sahab, my wife ran away with my best friend. Eventually, I got somebody to hit him. They hit him, they injured him, and I never told my wife. She keeps asking why he no longer visits us. Do I tell her, Ustad?
You must remember, you to blame for all this mess. Today, the people remember the husbands. They tell the wife that she must be broad-minded. They tell the friends that you must be broad-minded. So when your friend started visiting your house, you were the one to tell the friend, come to the house. The laws of parda, hijab, were thrown out of the window. So your friend started visiting, even sometimes when you were not there. So sometimes the Muslim says, nowadays I'm speaking about, you must be so broad-minded that the whole brains fall out as well from that broad-mindedness. So now he started coming to your house, even when you were not there, and then your wife eloped with him. So who is the first person to be blamed? You are the first person to be blamed. You need a good hiding in Islam. That is the first thing you need to do. Then your wife also needs a good hiding, that if they slept with one another and committed adultery, then it's a death penalty. And remember that now you got gangster or whatever to hit him, but aren't you also guilty and you need a good hiding? So isn't your wife also guilty? It's not a one-way thing. So what you did is totally unacceptable, not permissible. And anyway, now the damage is done, so you can't do much. But you should be thinking properly. Where is the root cause of this problem? You the root cause, because you did not tell your wife to make parda and hijab and segregation. You told your husband, you told your best friend, he must come and socialize there. So the socializing is very, very dangerous. People today go in a group. They go to Makkah, Medina for Umrah. This husband gets busy with that somebody's wife. Even in Makkah, Medina, you see this happening, Allah forbid. So what about our places, Allah forbid? So we must remember, therefore, there's three couples and four couples all going for a holiday. Remember that when that husband is gone or that husband has now, you know, passed away, then somebody will definitely have an eye for that lady and so forth. So we need to be very clear. All these activities are haram from the start. Therefore, Islam speaks about segregation of the genders and about hijab and parda, so that you don't have all these type of activities going on.
Ustad, somebody wants to know, it says here, Mufti Sahab, that should married couples keep secrets from each other? Is it violation of personal privacy if one spouse goes through another's phone? Ustad?
Remember that the husband and wife, both of them should say, so that the trust and they are not betraying one another, the trust remains. Oh, husband, leave your phone, tell your wife you can check up. But we know what the husbands can do. They will send wrong messages, all that, and they can delete it. The wives today are also very clever and shrewd. They can send messages. But be that as it may, so if you're going to continue with the crimes, then definitely you will be exposed one day. Secondly, is that remember, it's not necessary the husband must tell everything to his wife. For example, his wages and salary. If his wages is 15,000, 20,000, 50,000, 100,000, today you get people who get these type of wages. So in a case like that, if he's going to tell his wife his wages is 50,000, 100,000 a month, the wife will go every day, she will want to go shopping and mall and pole and what have you. So therefore, you don't have to tell her that. So you give her the allowance and you tell her that she must make do in that and so forth. So certain things the husband can keep secret from his wife, like the wages. The wife, remember that you must not keep secrets from your husband. And husband also, you must not keep secrets as far as possible, because marriage is based on trust. Marriage is based on not keeping secrets, except in one, two issues like I mentioned. So the Quran Kareem teaches us, Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. Remember that marriage is based on a partnership. Almighty Allah gives the example of clothing. You are the clothing for one another, which means that how the clothing covers one another, likewise we need to cover one another's fault. How the clothing enhances our beauty, so likewise the marriage is supposed to enhance our beauty and respect in society. How the clothing brings us comfort, likewise we should be comforting one another. So all these are lessons we should be learning. But when the one party continues, then remember, you got all the right to expose, or you separate, or you divorce, Allah forbid. So it just depends on case to case, how you will deal with it. Obviously, that the best thing will be to save the marriage at all times.
Ustad, there was a question that was posed yesterday. The brother says that he asked you regarding he's got cancer, and he doesn't have too much, he does not have too long life to live. And he asked, should I get married? He has stage 4 cancer. And Ustad gave the answer to that. Now he's asking Ustad, if the girl knows that he's got cancer, should he still go ahead and get married if she agrees with it, Ustad?
Remember, if you want to get married to her and you inform the girl and the lady you want to marry that you got stage 4 cancer, and the lady's father and them also, that is compulsory. You must inform them as well. Not only the lady. The lady can be emotional and get carried away. She will think that you will pass away soon and then she will inherit. So there can be many, many hidden agendas and ulterior motive. Yen mansa duat is anar mansa bruat. So we all know these type of things, that people get married. Then now one cousin of mine, friend of mine, he says, I can't get married. Why? I don't know why this girl is going to marry. She's going to marry me or she'll marry my money. So people today, they were 20, 50, 100 million. And you know, their wife passed away or whatever happened. Now they're in a dilemma. They don't know what to do, because if that girl, she will say yes. But is she saying yes for you, ABC, or she's saying for XYZ dollars and rands and rupees or whatever? So that is the big thing. So you must get permission from the girl and her father and parents and them. Then only you can go ahead. It can't be some secret scenario where you and the girl meet up and then you get somebody and pay him $50, 100 rand, 500 rand and say, perform my nikah. That nikah is null and void and not permissible.
Subhanallah. Ustad, maybe I should have asked you this question then. Why they got married to me, my wives?
So you must remember that Allah Ta'ala lets people get married. We all know that.
Allahu
but Allah. The when it's money involved, then it's big. So I don't know, Maulana, if you fit in that category of millionaire and this type of thing.
Well said, Ustad. Can I remarry on the same day as my wife's mayat, Ustad, anonymous?
One is what is fatwa, and one is what is taqwa, and so forth. So if the wife passes away, and now you want to get married to some other lady, so from fatwa point of view, remember, it's permissible, nobody can stop you from that. But from ethical point of view, taqwa point of view, remember, Islam gave us what we call 3 days mourning period. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. That naturally you should feel sad that your wife has passed away. You spend 10, 20, 40, 60 years. My uncle, I was there 2 weeks ago in Potchefstroom. Till now he cries. I can see the tears. I always tell him, uncle, I know that your marriage lasted 63, 64 years. And you know, you relish and you cherish all those moments you spent together. But they must be sabr and never complain. But mashallah, that's what he does. But obviously, he gets carried away by emotions and so forth. So similarly, that you, the husband, such common sense should prevail. Although nowadays, common sense is no more common. So anyway, we will say that permissible it is. But is it desirable? No, it's not desirable. So you should wait for 3 days or so. There's no iddat period for the husband. So for the man, and you can get married. There's no problem with that. But at least you should take the feelings of people, the family, into consideration. It's like you creating the perception and impression that now your wife died. You were just waiting for her to die. And now you're going to celebrate and get married to somebody else. So you should think about all these things here. So fatwa is permissible, but it's not something desirable. Rather, you have the mourning period for 3 days, sort out the estate, sort out all these issues, and then you get married to whoever you want to.
Well, so what happens now? Say that I am the sole provider in our household. If I get married to a poor family, I may destroy our family because it will be difficult to support both families. What should I do? I really want to get married. Anonymous brother, Ustad.
So you must remember that if you are wealthy and now you get married to a poor girl, so you are responsible for her. She is not responsible for you, or she is not responsible for her. You're not responsible for her family, her parents or anybody, or her brothers or sisters. You're only responsible for her. So that is funny thinking of yours, that now if you marry a poor lady, you will have to support her family and support your family. That's totally wrong. In Islam, you only have to support your wife and your children, your parents and your brothers, sisters, if they are down and out and poor. You don't have to support your father-in-law, mother-in-law, brother-in-law, sister-in-law. There's no such thing in Islam. If you do something good for them, you give them money, gifts, present, you are just making tabarru, ihsan. You are just doing them a favor. It's not something compulsory or mandatory upon you. One more point regarding this issue. I'm giving you from personal experience as well. If people ask, who should you marry, especially in this day and this age, should you marry a poor girl or should you marry a rich girl? So remember, my advice will be, marry a poor girl, provided that her aqidah is correct. She is not a Shia or Qadiani and all this. These are all non-Muslim, the Shias and Qadianis and all of them. So you marry a poor girl who has taqwa piety, who has good character, compared to marrying a rich girl who is spoiled. And anything you know, tell her, then she will pick up the phone and she will then contact her parents. My husband told me this today and he told me nonsense today. And because we need to be giving sincere advice, ad-deenu an-nasiha. What is deen? Deen is to give sincere advice. We need to be very, very honest on these issues. I travel so many places. I see what's happening. You must remember, majority of our sons and daughters today are spoiled brats. That's what they are. And you must remember, they're good for nothing, most of them. They just play with the father's money and the father's name. And that is what they think that will happen. So that's a total wrong understanding of deen. That because you got married and you are very rich, so now you want to dictate the terms to your husband, because now your father will give so much money. He maybe give the house, or maybe give the car, or maybe he give this. So now this husband husband will have to dance to the wife's tune. So remember, that is, you'll be living. I saw so many examples like this. Therefore, I'm being honest, in this day and this age, you're better off in marrying a poor girl. And in that way, if your intention is sincere, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala will give you so much barakah. Quran says, إِيَّكُونُوا فُقَرَىٰ, if they are poor, but your intention was solely only to please Allah Jalla wa Ala, to please Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then remember, إِيَّكُونُوا فُقَرَىٰ يُغْنِيهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ, then remember, Allah will enrich them. And then you see Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he is the faqih, the grand mufti of this ummah. He said that iltamisul ghina fin nikah, search and look for richness in nikah. So you see, easy example, when I used to teach the students there in Newcastle, I used to tell them that you must look for poor girl, you're sleeping on single bed, and now you will sleep on double bed already, Barkat. But the students, the masters, they will say, no, man. This new rechni. They speak to me a little bit in Afrikaans. So I say, why? It's not right. They say, we are born poor, some of us, and now we want to marry rich so we can enjoy the life. You see, this is Zayyana Lomu Shaitanu Akmalo. I'm born in a poor family. Now you tell me I must marry poor also. Isn't it better I marry in a rich family and then I can enjoy smart house, smart car, smart this, go for overseas holiday? Or so I remind them of the hadith of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the male marries the lady solely, exclusively for her wealth, and the hadith is authentic in Musnad Ahmad, فَإِنَّمَا أَذَلَّهُ اللَّهُ, Almighty Allah will disgrace him and humiliate him. And you see that's happening in today's world. Allah Jalla wa Ala protect us.
So the brother wants to know that he married a woman from Saudi Arabia. She is a Maliki and I am a Hanafi. So the brother wants to know, Ustad, we are having a bit of a problem at the moment because of our, she's a Maliki and I'm Hanafi. Could you please advise me, Ustad?
Remember that the Hanafi madhab, Maliki madhab are very, very close to one another. We all are Muslims. We all belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So what you should do is just keep a bigger heart. Few things, there might be differences, so you don't have to make it a big, big issue and so forth. Now when your children come about, whichever town you are in Johannesburg, so that, or Durban, the children will grow up as Hanafis. You are in Cape Town, in those places, then the children will grow up as Shafi'is and so forth. So these are all issues that you can overcome easily, but you just need to be, have tolerance, and you need to be but big-hearted in this sense, that إِنَّ مَخْتَلَفُوا لِأَجْدِ الْحَقِّ وَمَا اخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْحَقِّ. The fuqaha and the jurors, they differed for the sake of truth. They did not differ in truth. One person asked the question, how come Islam, the Quran Sharif, is one? How come Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the master, peace be upon him, is one? The Quran Sharif is one, but we have four schools. So we told him, you see, the sun, S-U-N, is one, but you have four different seasons. You have spring, summer, you have autumn, winter. You see, South Africa is now entering midsummer. Yesterday was like a heat wave. And if you go now to America, you go that side, Britain and all. So that are the places they're going into winter now. So you must understand that how Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala made this universe. So we have that understanding. We all belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Your people's problem will come about when you, the Hanafi husband, say that you also must understand that Hanafis are the best, and then the wife will say, you must understand the Malikis are the best. So that is where all the problems will come about. In the essentials and fundamentals of deen, that of religion Islam, we all agree. So these are secondary issues in which there are difference of opinion. Hence, don't make this a major issue.
29 minutes to 12. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning, the Bliss of Marriage Part 2. Don't go away, my beloved listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
27 minutes to 12. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning. I know you are tuning and listening to The Bliss of Marriage, 084-786-3132. Somebody says, Molana, could you please send me the podcast? This is from Zembezi, Low Bezi, sister. Inshallah, we will be doing that. Let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, and let's welcome the listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I think my beloved Fadilatul Ustad have a few announcements to make, inshallah, before I pose the next question. Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, our Marcus Sahaba team is there in Pietermaritzburg. So all of you in Pietermaritzburg, you want to purchase the decoders, the radios, or you want your radio to be tuned up, or you need to install it. So our team is there in Pietermaritzburg. You contact Maulana Abdul Aziz Ahmad, Maulana AAA, inshallah. Second announcement is, mashallah, today is the 29th of Rabiul Awal. So inshallah, this evening after Maghrib, scan the sky and the moon will be sighted. Inshallah, it's more than 25 hours old. So in that way there, that we will usher in the month of Rabiul Akhir, and we should be reading, get your children, your spouses, everybody involved. Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. O Almighty Allah, make this month of Rabiul Akhir a month of khair and goodness and righteousness. Alhamdulillah, Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, has started a new initiative, and we thank our Mawana Khalid Yaqub, Brother Yusuf Ali and the team, and mashallah, a day in Islamic history. So every day of Rabiul Awal, which incident happened in our history, is on our website. So please refer to that. Go to the website and you will find it there, www.markazsahaba.com/SAHABA, there's no H in the end, .com, or my website, Mufti AK Hussein, HOOSEN.net, and you can peruse what happened every day in our history. So that will motivate and inspire you, inshallah.
Ustad, let's go to UK. Husband, Ustad, and wife, of course, married, they do not know who to vote for in the UK. What should they do, Ustad?
Yes, we all know that you are having elections in December 2019, and the big issue there is Brexit. Let me be honest, I'm a South African citizen, we don't have passport of other countries or what have you, but if I was in London and UK and Britain and what have you, and if I had to vote, then definitely I should be voting for the Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party. Remember that man is very good for you Muslims there. Why? Because you saw the Labour Party's policy regarding occupied Kashmir against the apartheid regime of India. And today I just read the news that they said, the foreign minister or one of their ministers said, that we want to apply the laws which are in Israel, the apartheid Israel in Kashmir. So it came out from their own horse's mouth, you can read it. So remember that they spoke against them, they spoke against apartheid Israel. So on many issues, they also are looking for justice and peace. So every Muslim, if you know what is good for you, remember that you should vote for the Labour Party, whose leader is Jeremy Corbyn. And this is what the Jews and the Zionists fear the most. Remember, they have smeared that person's name, and you can't believe, but Almighty Allah has his own ways. So of working out things, wamakaru wamakarallah, Allah is the best planner. So inshallah, I hope and pray that sanity prevails and common sense. I know it's not common, but you should make it common in your elections. And I would never ever advise any person to vote for Boris Johnson and these people here, that the Conservative Party and so forth. Because how many sentiments and how many things they said against Islam, the Muslims, the hijab and parda and so forth. So therefore you, the Muslims of UK, I definitely endorse the sentiments of Moana Salim Dorat and other ulama who are urging the people there that they should vote for the Labour Party. Jeremy Corbyn is your man. And in America, remember next year, 2020, I hope he becomes the candidate for the Democratic Party. Then that Betty Sanders, your Sanders, is your man. And inshallah, we hope if these two people come in, he comes in America and Jeremy Corbyn comes in, then there's curtains for Israel already. Mm. And that's what they know. The writing is on the wall for them. So we make dua to Almighty Allah. He controls the hearts of the people and the entire universe. Allah Jalla wa Ala brings who he wants to and humiliates who he wants to. Tu'til mulka man tasha wa tanzi'ul mulka mimman tasha. He gives authority, power to whomsoever he wishes. He snatches it away from whomsoever he wishes.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ustaz, we go to a revered sister. She says, could you please explain to me the saying by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who gave this advice to his son on the wedding day. The sister says, a woman wants to love her husband, but at the same time, she does not want to lose her family. So do not put yourself and her family in the same scale, because then her choice will be down to either you or her family. And even if she does choose you over her family, she will remain in anxiety, which will then turn into hatred towards you in your daily life. Please help me. Explain to me, Ustad.
The first thing we need to understand is Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in Hajjatul Wida, more than 120,000 Sahaba, male, female, adults and children were present. Inna Allah qad a'ta kulla dhi haqqin haqqa. That verily every person who's eligible to rights, Almighty Allah has given them their rights. So the hadith is mentioned, Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, various compilations. Number two, this hadith is mentioned in Mustadrak Hakim. Now you have the husband, you have the wife. So now who is who? So who has the greatest rights? So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us, Inna a'dhama an-nasi haqqan 'ala rajul. The person who has the greatest rights over the male after his marriage, after he gets married, ummuhu, is his mother. So when I married, my mother is there, my wife is there. So my mother has greater rights compared to my wife. So that is what you must understand. Second one, wa inna a'dhama an-nasi haqqan 'ala al-mar'a zawjuha. The person who has the greatest rights over the wife is her husband. So she, the wife, must understand her husband has greater rights over her now compared to her family. So she can't be saying every weekend, every second weekend, I want to go home, I want to do this, I want to do this. You're married now. But the husband should also have common sense. He should tell his wife without her asking once a month, once in 6 months, once a year, depending how far, how near they are. Come, I take you to your parents' place, to your family, and so forth and so on. So marriage is give and take. It's not about making choices that it is my way or catch the highway. No. So what you should do in this case here, remember that for your parents, they're alive, then you serve them during the day. Night time is for your wife and your children. That is how Islam works. Everybody shares out. So now I have my parents' life, I have my wife, I have my children. So daytime, whatever chores, whatever important things I have to do for my parents, get it done. Night time is for my wife and for my children. So we cross the wires and therefore we find that the marriage becomes a huge disaster.
Someone wants to know, Mufti Saab, when Mufti Saab got married, how was Mufti Saab's walima, a revered sister? Was it small? Was it big, Ustad?
Mine was everything. If I tell you, people won't believe. You understand? I just saw my wife and I came home and I told them, tell them this day I'm getting married.
Allah.
So you must remember that. So my sister, as they've all shouted me, we never even proposed. So I said, okay, let's wait. The next day, my father-in-law, who became my father-in-law, he was gone in tabligh, and he came that night. Sometime, Allah knows, he met me Fajr time, and he kissed me and everything. So I told my sister and them, what you saying of proposing that? Yeah, Baji gave, my father-in-law gave answer already in the masjid.
Subhanallah.
He's kissing me and everything. So we got married quick, you understand? We went overseas and all that. So we had walima, 20 people, 15 people, and finished. And even the day the nikah took place, all the men with their big three-piece suits, all that, everybody ate on the floor. So you see, if you want to do things, you can do it. But we want to show off.
Allah.
That is the main criteria today. Okay, I will make a nikah for my daughter. She will come in a helicopter. And my son, I will bring him in a horse cart and a donkey cart. The horse also runs away sometimes. So, you know, we just want to show off. Well, and you see, I witnessed it 100 times already. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man samma asamma Allahu bihi." That you want to show off, Allah will disgrace you. And how many marriages have broken? Allah. How many rich people, sons and daughters are at home? Because intention, jaisi niyat waisi barkat, your intention was so tainted, so polluted, you forgot Allah and you started speaking, I'm going to have it in a 5-star hotel. What, we must have nikah in a masjid? We will have it in a civic center and in the hotel, and everybody must witness it. And they got one crooked Maulana, and he was there. They were videoing, they were clapping hands, the women were there with the saris, and there was dancing. And so from start to end, everything is almost haram. So, and then you get one crooked Molvi or Qari Sahib, make one dua for barakat. From A to Z, everything is haram, and now you're asking for barakat. So think what you're doing. So each one of us, today we're inviting the trouble. We're inviting the musibat. Islam showed us, see one hadith I give you, one hadith. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna a'adaman nikahi baraka aysaruhu ma'una. That the best nikah, as far as barakat goes, is where there's least expenditure. Haq. You spoke of walima. Where in Islam it says walima, you must call 100, 200 people, and you must give them 7-course meal, 9-course meal, and the last course then will be intercourse. So where it shows all this? So you can just give fruits, you can just give ice cream, you can just give some simple. But we must, people are demanding, even if we go and go into debts. So that is our problem. We're not worried about pleasing Allah. We're worried about pleasing people. And you can never please people. They not please with Allah. To see easy example I give you. People tell me, but what will people say? I say, this is what people will say. There are 7 billion people on this earth today, right? Let's just take round figures. I don't believe this figure, but just never mind, we'll say. Say 1 billion is Muslim. It's not 1 billion, it's much less. Because there they count the Shias and Qadianis and everybody. All these are non-Muslim. Anyway, so now 1 billion are Muslim. 6 billion are non-Muslim. So they're not happy with Allah. They're not happy with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where are they going to be happy with us? So think about Allah. It. The day we start pleasing Allah, then Allah Ta'ala controls the entire creation and universe. The day we start pleasing people, we get disgraced by Allah and we get disgraced by the people. See our government. They don't know what to do because totally lost. Your policies are anti-religion. Your policies, now you want to suit the people. The people are cursing you. Why? Because remember that you have no policy now. Everything falls apart. You must remember. Your ESCOM falls apart. Your SAA falls apart. The state-owned entities fall apart. So that is when human being has lost direction. So when we aim is to please Allah, then remember, human being will also be satisfied and pleased. That's the law we must remember.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. I see Ba from Nigel. He says, Biju Ba, we didn't know your walima was so small. Please ask Molana, what did he have for his walima? I can't remember, Ustad. I can't remember my walima.
You had too many walimas.
14 minutes to 12 o'clock. I see Ba is laughing here from Nigel. Ustad, husband and wife arguing about Black Friday. Wife wants shopping, husband says no. Ustad.
Remember that I answered this question many a time, but nevertheless, let's answer it one more time. For Muslims, if you just look at the newspapers, you will find so many Muslims advertising Black Friday sale and Black Friday specials and all. Remember, for Muslims to advertise, promote, and advocate, this Black Friday is haram and not permissible. Why? Quran Kareem states, Surah 5, verse number 2, ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. Do not cooperate in sins and vices and transgression. So what are you doing? I was listening today. They say America started this Black Friday story in 1952. This is long before I was born also.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't catch on initially. And then it caught up because people think that the West is the best and white is right. Now you see Arab countries, Muslim countries, South Africa. In the past few years, people are gone mad. So now they're giving warnings. They say when the Black Friday comes, remember for me to use this term also. I don't like it, but because you'll use it to make you understand. They said that be very careful with your credit card. See that the person who's taking your credit card to swipe it, he does it in front of you. Because today they take it at the back and then they clone it and then a lot of things happen. Second, beware of the big pickpockets. Beware of your woman. How many of them will get harassed by the people? So look at all the shaitaniyat going on. So best thing, why must you even go there? So you see, no, there's a lot of specials and all these type of things. So all Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, that whosoever adopts the quality of taqwa, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجَا, Allah will make a way out for you. And now the money you're supposed to save, وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, Allah will give you risk and sustenance from such avenues where you never ever expected. Be honest, the shops and the stores are packed to capacity.
Mm.
Some shops will be open 20 hours, 18 hours, 24 hours, and such long, long queues. Now the women are going to push the men push the woman. All that is jais, all that is permissible, all haram, all those things. So you must remember that we must not be short-sighted. The entire world's khazana, treasures are there by Almighty Allah. So we must not get carried away with capitalism and all this. For us, every Friday is a Nurani Friday. Every Friday, remember, is something that is filled with Nur and radiance and effulgence. Yes, if a person buys, the transaction is valid. But should a person advertise it? Definitely not. Not permissible.
Mm, subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, it says, yeah, that I spend hours in the kitchen on a daily basis. I cook for my husband out of love. I cook more than one dish for him. However, he comes from work like an aggravated Pokemon, and he starts screaming at me for nothing and refuses to touch the food I cooked. What should I do in this situation? My friend say, Ustad, I must eat all the food and leave nothing for him to fix him up. What is the right way to deal with this anonymous sister?
The best way to solve this type of problems is that when your husband is in a good mood and you are alone, then you need to tell him all these things. Many a time you will find the problems at work and the frustration, the pressure. So now the husband brings it home. And now to vent his anger, he can't do it with his colleagues or with his staff or with his boss or whoever. So now he vents his anger with his wife or he vents his anger with his children. So you need to tell him that, you know what, you need to learn how to control your emotions. You can't be taking out your anger here at the home. You, the wife, are spending hours and hours making a nice, sumptuous lunch, a sumptuous supper, beautiful meal. And now, because of the frustration of outside and at work, now you come and explode here. So all this Islamically is haram and not permissible. In Islam, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, you must treat your wives with equity, love and justice. Always remember the sentence. How you want your son-in-law to treat your daughter, you must treat your wife even better than that. Then you become a good husband. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith, and who else will report it? Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anani, authentic hadith. Khayrukum khayrukum li ahalikum wa ana khayrukum li ahali. The best of you are the best of you to your wives and your children. So you must remember, in a case like that, we will say that people today, again, they got the wrong end of the miswak. They want to impress people, but they make the end day. They want to impress people, but they oppress their wives and their children. in Islam that when you look after your wife and children, you are good to them, good to your wives and children, then you are beloved by Allah Jalla Wala and beloved by Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even if people are displeased. And if you are impressing people and you're oppressing your wife and children, then remember you are hated and detested by Allah Jalla Wala and by Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even if people are pleased with you. So that is the law in Islam.
Well, it's exactly now 8 minutes to 12. Somebody says, husband and wife, Ustad, big problems. Marriage is on the rocks. Please, Ustad, because of no communication at all. What should I do? Walk in, walk out, Ustad.
Yes, this is a big problem nowadays. Especially you will find when couples are married 10, 15, 20, 30 years. So now the marriage becomes what I call a stale marriage. That now they hardly communicate. There's hardly any spark left in that marriage. And now they're both just leading their independent lives. They're hanging in there because of the children or the grandchildren and so forth. Remember, that is not what Islam teaches us. Islam teaches us that marriage is such, it is a long, long honeymoon. Not what the West teaches us, that 1 week, 2 weeks, you go to Maldives, you go to Morocco, you go to Mauritius, all the countries with M, Maldives, Morocco, and Mauritius, and all these places, and then you're top of the world. And when you come back, then all the problems come. Because now you went and lived in a dream world, and now you came to the real world. So remember, that is why hypocrisy comes about. So when you are genuine from the start, and you share everything, so remember your emotions, your love and everything. Quran is teaching us this. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. The signs and the symbols of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, that Almighty Allah made for you your own species, your own kind. Islam said Adam and Eve. Islam didn't go and say you must go marry animals or marry your same gender, Adam and Steve, like today, Allah forbid. Such people are out of the fold of Islam. There's no two opinions on that issue. And then, أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. So that you get sukoon. Sukoon is what? That every normal human being has shahwatul faraj and shahwatul batan. That your private part, you want to fulfill your lust and desires. And then a hungry man is an angry man. Now when you are married, mashallah, your wife is fulfilling your lust and desires. Her lust and desires are also fulfilled. Conjugal rights are fulfilled. And then you find she's cooking wonderful meals for you. So now your hunger, your thirst, all that also is removed. So that is litaskunu ilayha. Then, waja'ala bainakum mawadda. So then Allah brings the love. The 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, the love is increasing. Now you're married 20, 30 years. It don't mean you must stop communicating. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. The mercy must overtake you. Allah will put so much mercy in the wife's heart, so much mercy in the husband's heart. And this is chapter 30, Surah Rum, verse 21. But see what Almighty Allah states. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. That are lessons for people who make tafakkur, who wonder, ponder, and reflect in the bounties and favors of Allah. So hug one another, embrace one another, tell your wife how dear she is to you, how you love her, how you can never forget her sacrifices. In difficult times she stood with you, and that way that you will always go through the turbulence of life. Then you become a strong couple together. Look at Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, how she was a pillar of strength for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The odds were stacked against Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyida Khadija, she took her wealth and gave it to the master. She was the first person to believe among men and women. And she must remember, she gave birth to 6 children of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, innaha kanat wa kanat. She was exemplary because 25 25 and a half years marriage approximately. Remember, she was with Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam alone. So that is what marriage is all about, where you share your happiness, you share the grief. Not something happens to the wife, now you're very happy. Something happens to the husband, you, the wife, is happy. No. Dukh sukh me saath hona. That the occasions of happiness, you are partners. In occasions of sadness, again you are partners. So in that way, there must be communication. Once you stop communication, it becomes a recipe for disaster, and your marriage will just become a stale marriage.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ustaz, brother Yahya Van Paal, he says that definitely, inshallah, we will be meeting you, Ustaz, soon in Cape Town. He wants to know quickly that the government had legalized gay. So in today's time, Ustaz, Muslims are doing it. Women are doing it. They're becoming, getting married. Is there any way that we could stop this, Ustaz?
Remember that as time progresses, things will just get worse. Remember, we as Muslims believe in the day of justice, the day of Qiyamah. And the day of Qiyamah, Allah alone knows when it will happen. But as time progresses, things will get worse and worse and worse. You can see already what is happening. In some countries already, they will allow that a person can get married to his animal. So that is what you will find. Because once you believe, you see, if you ask Norway, how come you allowed a person in full view of hundreds or thousands of people to take the Quran Sharif and burn it, Allah forbid? They will say freedom of expression. So I've been to Norway, but if you ask them, you understand that in public, I want to swear the king or swear the queen or thus, I want to do all that. So when it comes to their things, then they will tell you that no, that hate speech is not permissible, thus is not permissible. So you must remember, when Islam is being attacked, then everybody wants to use the so-called constitution. But when you put them in a corner, then they will say, no, your speech is hate speech and yours is this. So always you will find double standards and you will find all these type of things there. So therefore, my brother, me and you cannot do much, because you must remember the South African constitution, they wanted to impress the West. When they drew up the constitution, they said it's one of the best constitutions in the world. What good is your constitution with 57 murders a day? What good is your constitution with rape and murder? Now the people, non-Muslims, are demanding. They say we want the death penalty for the femicide and the killing of females and children and all these things here. So you must remember, their whole intention was wrong. They wanted to impress the West and they wanted to show how liberal we are. What did you bring for us? You brought a total failing banana republic. That's what you did. So that is the reality on the ground. So you must remember that things will just go from bad to worse, because the day of Qiyamah has to come. Allah alone protect us. Next up, inshallah, we have Brother Yusuf Ali with the news. Thereafter, we have Brother Alifas from 12 to 1 with current affairs. 1 o'clock azan for Dhuhr, 5 past 1, 1:05. Tafsir of the Noble Quran. Today, inshallah, we complete and conclude Surah Al-Fajr. Then, inshallah, from 1:30 to 2 will be Suratul Hajj, verse number 41, inshallah. And then 2 to 3, my brother Sheikh Zakaria. 3 to 5:30, brother Yusuf Ali, afternoon drive show. 5:30 to 7, inshallah, will be the Mawlana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to upper 7, the repeat of the tafsir. 7:30 to 8, inshallah, Mawlana Yunus Patel, rahimahullah. 8 to 9, very, very interesting to Today, Medical File. Your host is Dr. Yusuf Wahid. His guest is Professor Dr. Samir Nadwi, and they're going to discuss brain dead and organ transplant. So very, very important issues. Dr. Samir Nadwi and mashallah, our Dr. Yusuf Wahid. May Almighty Allah accept everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I see the listener sent a message saying that Wal Marka Sahaba put on the website the first of Rabi'ul Akhir or not, Ustad.
Inshallah, it will be day, inshallah.
For myself and my beloved listeners of Sirius FM and Merkaz Sahaba, Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ahdinasa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.